So, page 59, exercise lesson 10. So, okay, so first one here, lesson 10, is Nachirani Tathagatasa Parinibbanam Bhavissati. So here the verb again is the verb to be. You have bhavissati at the end of the sentence there. That is verb to be. It's future, third person singular. So it means it will be, right? Future tense. It will be, or he will be, or she will be, something like that. So it's an equational sentence. So basically, you have two things in the nominative here which are equated with each other. Now, if you look in a sentence, the only nominative word you have in there, or possibly nominative word, you can't even tell properly, is parinibbana. Parinibbana is a nominative because it's a neuter noun. It can either be nominative or it can be accusative. But in this case, it must be nominative because you have the verb to be here. There is no other nominative noun there, or no other nominative word there. So because of that, it is actually the agent of the, or the there will be, the there, or whatever it is, that is actually the agent of that. It's not really the agent, it's the, it can't be the agent of the verb to be here. But it's the pronoun that relates to the verb to be here, that is implied by the ending of the verb to be. So, you know, he will be, it will be, whatever. That is what is equated with parinibbana here. So there will be the parinibbana, is the equation in the sentence. There will be the parinibbana. And then, once you have established that, established the nominatives and the verb and the patience, then you can go on to the other words of the sentence. The next one is tathagatasya. So the asa ending makes it a genitive. So because there's a genitive, you always translate with the preposition of. So this becomes of the Tathagata, or of the Buddha. That's how you translate the genitive ending always. So of the Buddha. And remember that the genitive word always relates to the word which immediately comes after it. So it actually is, what this meaning of this is, it's actually the parinibbana of the Tathagata is what this means. So that, if you like, the final passing away of the Buddha is what we're talking about here. Those words relate to each other. And nachirang is just, chirang is just, means long, so nachirang is not long, so soon basically. So what we have basically is something like soon, there will be the parinibbana, or the final passing away of the Buddha. That's what you have there. Make sense?
Do you prefer not to use apostrophe S for possessive?
But, oh, you can, no, you can do whatever, okay. Whatever way, it doesn't matter, yeah. I just, yeah.
So you don't, with that na, you don't translate the na, you just,
I said soon instead of soon. Yeah, yeah, soon.
So you wouldn't translate not after.
You can.
Yeah,
you can. But it I think it reads better if you translate with soon.
Yeah,
right? But you can. Sometimes it's better just to do it, as I said, completely literally first of all. Right?
Mm.
And then once you understand what it means, you can translate more kind of in the idiomatic and natural language. Right?
Oh,
okay. Next one, imassa jayo bhavissati. So again, it's an equational sentence. So you have two words in nominative being equated. And this is very similar to the previous one. You have bhavissati, he will be, it will be, there will be. And it's the pronoun that is implied in bhavissati, which is equated with jayo, because jayo is the other noun here in the nominative. And jayo means victory. So you have something like, there will be victory, an equation between those two words. There will be victory, victory. And then you have imassa. And imassa, again, is a genitive. And these pronouns, remember, they can mean many different things. They can mean this, that, him, it, all these things, depending on the context. So here, because it's talking about victory, it's very likely to refer to a person. So of him. So something like victory here. Of him, or he will have victory, is obviously the idiomatic translation here. But quite literally, it reads something like, of him, victory there will be here. Or you can say, you can also, what you can do in Pali very often, the genitive plus the verb to be are equivalent to have, right? Because you have ownership of something is the same thing as possessing it. So because genitive is a possessive case, genitive plus the verb to be is equivalent to the verb to have. So you can say, he will have a victory. It's another way of translating this.
So it couldn't mean that somebody could win him, the, you know, like, there will be
victory over him, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, that, in that case, we have had to have a different case there. Victory over, because over would be had to be given in Pali in a different way. Beating him. So yeah, it's like his victory, basically. What it says, there will be his victory. Yeah. He's the owner of the victory. Yeah.
And the second one is victory will be his.
Yeah, that's exactly. That's exactly the same thing, because his is identity, right? Yeah. So, yeah. Victory will be his. Yeah. Sounds very poetic.
Yeah. It's a tad better than of him victory there will be.
slightly unnatural. Yeah.
Such as an off Broadway stage act.
Okay, page 16. Brahmana, Brahmana Kutta. So here there is no verb. So because there is no verb, you have to add the verb to be. And as soon as you add the verb to be, you have an equational sentence. There's an equational sentence again. One thing is something else. So you look for nominatives and you find Brahmana and Putta are both nominatives. So essentially you have here the priests or the Brahmins are sons. The priests are sons. That's the basic kind of the root sentence here. And then you have Brahmano, and Brahmano is a genitive ending. It's a genitive ending for Brahma, the supreme god of the Hindu religion. So because that is related to Putta comes straight after it, it means it's related to Putta. So that this means the sons of God. The sons of God. So the Brahmins are the sons of God, the sons of Brahma. The children of Brahma, you could perhaps say.
Does this imply that it also means the daughters?
Probably no. There's a very kind of male-dominated culture, you know, and whereby the women are sort of completely on the outside of the system. You know, it probably just means the men, the priests. And that women are just, you know, who cares about the women kind of thing. Yeah, it's pretty much like that, you know, that's how they do things. So, yeah.
But wouldn't they always marry a Brahmin woman? They wouldn't marry a low caste woman.
They would, so they would, they were still defined like that. Yeah. So, but whether actually the women, I think the women were just kind of not even kind of counted, you know. They were sort of, okay, you had to be the right caste, but beyond that it was kind of irrelevant, you know. I could be wrong. I could be completely wrong about this. It's just my sense from reading the sutras. But I mean,
they do wear women wear a caste mark.
Yeah, it's not a caste mark. It's not a beauty mark, isn't it?
Huh?
It's a distinguish between whether they're married or not.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Oh, is that what that
it's not usually a caste mark. No.
Hindu, it's just a kind of beauty.
So. Beauty thing, yeah.
Oh, I thought that was
a caste. Next one, dukkas antang karisanti. So here we have the verb to do, karisanti, karoti. So this is the verb to do, or to make, or to work. And it's future, the double S in legazo as future. And the anti ending means it's the third person plural. So they will do, they will make. That's what that means. That's the verb. And there is no other agent. So there's no nominative in that sentence, no agent. But there is a patient. The patient is antang, which means an end. So they will make an end. And then we can take in the word dukkha, which is here dukkasta, so it is actually the genitive, so it means of suffering. And of suffering relates to end, because they are next to each other like that, so it means an end of suffering. So they will make an end of suffering here. They will make suffering's end, if you prefer it, apostrophe here. I'm just being naughty. Okay, next one, aropito te vado. So here we have, the verb here is not at the end for once, now it is the beginning. Arōpito is a past participle. It means refuted. So arōpito is refuted. Now, because it is a past participle, it's a passive sentence. So we expect that the agent, it would be in the instrumental. So it is possible here that te is actually instrumental, which it might mean by you, right? That's a possible meaning here. Yeah. So by you. So so refuted by you, and then the patient of the sentence would then be in the same case as the past participle. So the patient here, in other words, that which is refuted, would be in the same case and the same number as the past participle. That's vado, of course. And both of those are in the nominative because of passive sentence. So the statement or the doctrine is a vada, is a statement of doctrine. So the doctrine is refuted by you. That is the one possible meaning. Is that the right meaning, according to the
Nibbana? Or your argument has been disapproved.
Oh, okay. So that is another possible meaning here, is that it actually, the te is actually the genitive case rather than the instrumental case, and that there is actually no agent given at all. And it actually instead means te relates to vado, so it's your argument or your doctrine. Your argument has been refuted, or your argument is refuted. Those are both those are possible meanings of this particular sentence. Taken either the instrumental or genitive. So you have to know from the context what it actually means. Once you have a whole, like a whole page, and there is like a very clear storyline, very clear narrative, very, usually these kind of things become very clear what it means, whether it means by you or yours or whatever, because the story makes that absolutely crystal clear. Yeah.
But the T here is third person plural.
Can be third person plural as well, but it doesn't fit in this. It's impossible. It doesn't fit here. You cannot have a third person plural just standing on its own.
So there's three T's. So which one's the third one? One is the instrumental. One is that one here.
Yeah. And the last one, T can also be the genitive of you. Yours, your, in other words, your, yeah. So really, te is two things. Either it is a plural; it can be that means they. It can be that nominative or accusative, or it can be you, and it can be the instrumental, genitive, dative, ablative, many different cases of you.
And it always looks the same.
Always looks the same. Yeah. Te. Okay. Doesn't always look the same, but often looks the same.
T apostrophe.
No, it can't, because it's an enclitic, right? The T is an enclitic. It doesn't have to be an enclitic. It can be taya, which then means only by you. It's very clear. Or it can be tasta, because it only means of you. So it depends on whether it's an enclitic or an ordinary.
So,
if it's
instrumental, it could say of you too, right?
T can be, no, if it is instrumental, it must be by you, right? By you or with you. Of you would have to be the, genitive.
Okay.
So instrument, right? You think about the word instrument. It's something that you use to actually do something.
Yes.
So it's by, through, with, with the help of, instrument. Usually those names that they have are usually quite good if you get to think about the name. So they're actually quite helpful. Yeah. Okay, next one. Ayani imasa basitasa ato. So here we have another equational sentence. Equational sentence. There is no verb here. Basitasa could be a verb, but it's in the genitive like this. It's like in this case, it actually turns out to be a noun. It means, again, nothing like statement or speech. So because there is no verb, you add the verb to be. It's another equational sentence. And the two nominatives here are ayan and atto. So because those are the two nominatives, it becomes this is the meaning, right? Just add the verb to be. This is the meaning. When there's no verb there, it's always the present third person. It's always the present tense of the verb to be that you have to add it, because there's no verb in the sentence. If they wanted to say past tense or future, they would have to add a verb to show that. So it's always present if there's no verb in the sentence. So this is the meaning here. And then you have imasa basitasa. So basita is speech, and it's a genitive, so it means of the speech. And then you have imassa. Now imassa is again is a pronoun. It is a demonstrative pronoun. And because it's also in the genitive, it's very much very likely to refer to the same thing as basitasa. So these are like the same object. So it means this speech, right? This, because they have the same case ending, they very likely refer to the same thing. So it means this speech. So the whole thing becomes of this speech. And that of there, that genitive, must relate to atto, which comes straight after it. So you get, this is the meaning of this speech. The meaning of this speech. Or this speech's meaning.
What about someone is saying? I'm not sure if you can
understand. Saying is fine. Yeah. Speech or saying or statement or there are many things you can say. Ma me purato atasi. So here we have a sentence with a ma, and usually when you have a ma in the sentence, usually you have the verb in the past tense, and atasi is the past tense. It means to stand, quite literally. So it is atasi is the second person singular, so it means you stand, and because it has the ma in front, it actually loses the sense of past tense, and it just means don't stand. That's what it means. It's like a command, basically. Don't stand. That's a kind of standard way with a ma and the second person. So that means don't stand. And then you have purato, which means in front of. It's indeclinable, means in front of. And it's an indeclinable which usually has the genitive that goes with it. There's all the genitive going with purato. So me here must be the genitive going with purato. So it means in front of me. In front of me, right? Of me, I think there. So the whole thing becomes, don't stand in front of me here. But the next one here is a very strange sentence, and it looks like something has been lost in the sentence. And I don't know why Ekewood has put it in here, because it really is, it's impossible to actually make the sentence work properly here. So because of that, there is actually an explanation in the commentary somewhere which actually adds a verb to the sentence to show that it actually should be read differently from this. Anyway, I'll just go through it to give you a rough idea what the meaning is. So man panhena ahang veya karanena sobisami. There's only one verb here, sobisami, which means to clear up or to make clear them. I will make clear them. It's a future, first person singular, I will make clear. And you have the ahang there.
Also, so, one makes it future.
The double S.
Double S.
So I will make clear, and ahang here is the agent, you have the ahang there. I will make clear. Now if you want to analyze the sentence the way we normally do it, it becomes complete nonsense, because man over there is in the accusative, so I will make clear me. That's literally how you have to translate this one. So because of that, you can see that the whole sentence basically doesn't work. So what you have to do is you have to assume that there is a verb after panhena. So you have to assume that there's a verb after panhena. So the first part has to be translated separately, basically. That's what you have to do.
And you assume that's hoti?
Because
there's no verb given.
Can't be hoti, because mang is accusative in there. There's nominative and accusative. So you have to, I think what you have to assume is a verb huchati to ask in there. That's what you have to assume. So you have to ask, assume that panhiena might be some kind of verbal noun or something here. Meaning something like questioning here.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what it means, panhiena?
It means a question usually here. But I would actually add the verb to be there.
Well, it's instrumental, isn't it?
Yes, yeah.
Oh, okay.
So I would say something like...
It's instrumental.
I think it's masculine noun, yes. Panjo, yeah. So basically what it reads, if you put kuchati in there, the verb kuchati to ask, then you get, he asks me with a question, right? Or by a question, by means of a question. He asked me with a question. Another possible way of understanding this is to take panjena, instead of being a noun, to take it to be like a verbal noun. So it means like questioning rather than questioner. So you could say something like, he, by questioning me, or something like that. But it still, it sounds very funny and it becomes very strange. I actually have a note down here. This is the commentary to the Anguttara 4.173 explains this particular sentence. So man panhena upagacchatu. This is how it explains it. So it explains it as he approaches me with a question. Upagacchatu means approach or to go up to her. So that's how actually the commentary explains this. So it adds the verb to approach or to go up to her.
Well, okay.
So the whole sentence is basically flawed, and it doesn't work properly.
Well, he says this stylistic feature is very characteristic of all Pali codes.
No, this is the next sentence. You're reading the next sentence now.
I thought the sense of, and I have to put this in, is that I will clarify with an explanation if he asks me a question.
But that's exactly the sense of it. That's what it means.
When he asks me the question, then I'll clarify.
That's exactly what it means.
You know what he wants to know first.
That's exactly what it means.
It's like you're giving a talk and people well, I don't know what they want to know unless they ask.
No, you're quite right. That's exactly what it means. And it's very obvious that it means that, you know. But the problem is it doesn't work acrobatically. The whole thing is just clumsy. That's why it's very strange. It's one of the very few sentences in the whole canon which I have ever come across which doesn't work acrobatically.
It doesn't work acrobatically.
Yeah, most sentences work out very easily. But this one is weirder. Oh. Maybe it's just my misunderstanding. Maybe I don't understand what's going on here. Could be the case. But I find it strange. Anyway, so add in the word puchatu, and he gets something like, or add in the word upagacchati, which the commentary does, which means to approach or go up to. So he goes up to me with a question. I will clarify with a reply or an answer.
This seems like a word like when or if is left out.
Yeah.
Do you think it could just have been? It's in the suttas. It's could it have been left something left out accidentally?
Possible. Yeah. Or it could just be my lack of understanding. It might be some idiomatic expression which I don't understand properly. I mean, I don't claim to understand everything that's going on here. And there are so many different. I mean, a language is so flexible sometimes. You know, there's so many idiomatic expressions. And the same thing in Pali, it's very hard to know all the systematic expressions. There's a book called The Syntax of the Cases in Pali, which is a 250-page book, which just analyzes all the 8 different cases. And there's about 50, 60 pages of each case, of different types of uses of each case. So that's when you get into detail, you know, to understand every single usage.
Is there a book on idioms?
Well, that covers lots of idioms, because that is the point, that, you know, the different cases are used idiomatically a lot, all the time.
Mm.
Yeah. But there isn't any particular book on idioms apart from that, no. Yeah.
And sayings? Sayings, is there any kind of collection of sayings?
Sayings of the Buddha?
Yeah. Or, no, just sayings, you know, like, I guess the idioms.
Okay, so anyway, I'll put that out of the way because I find it strange. But anyway, next one. Tena gopana samayena ananda anando bhagavato pittito titto hoti bhagavantan vijamano. So here you have two verbs. You have hoti first, and then you have vijamano afterwards. So first of all, translate the first part of the sentence, which ends with hoti. And here you actually have a verbal cluster, which is titto hoti, and it means something like is standing. Actually, it's a past participle, quite literally means is stood. But sometimes you have to translate. It's one of the things that you have to keep in mind as well. Sometimes you need to translate the past participle as a present participle. It's the only way it works out. And here, actually, that is the correct way. Is standing is actually the appropriate translation here. It could, for example, if you to understand how it works, you could translate Tito as stationed, for example. He is stationed. But then it makes sense. That's similar to is standing, right? He is stationed. Or he is placed. you can see why there's a past participle in Pali, because that's actually what it probably means in Pali. He is placed, or he is stationed.
Well, how would you translate the whole thing?
He is stationed.
Oh, he is placed.
Yeah. So that is the verb in the sentence. He is stationed. And then you ask yourself, is there another agent here apart from the he? And there is. Anando is the nominative here. So Anando must be the agent. Ananda is placed, or is stationed, or idiomatically is standing. Anando is standing. And then there is no further agent, and there's no further patient in the sentence. So the next one then is this pitito is the next one here, which means behind or at the back of. And remember, pitito is indeclinable, which means at the back of or behind, and it always takes the genitive. So genitive then is bhagavato, straight in front of it. So it means at the back of the Blessed One or behind the Blessed One. So what you have so far then is Ananda is standing behind the Blessed One, or at the back of the Blessed One, if you want to get the genitive coming out in the sentence. And then you have at the very beginning, you have tena kopana samayena, which is this kind of standard idiomatic way of saying at that time, basically. That just means at that time, that whole thing. Tena samayena, at that time. Or, and then you can add a but if you like, for pana, but at that time. So you get something like, but at that time, Ananda was standing, or Ananda was stationed, or Ananda was placed behind, at the back of the Blessed One, if you want to get everything out, coming out properly. So that is the first part of the sentence, and they have the last part, is Bhagavantan Vijamano. And Vijamano is a present participle. You recognize that because of the mano ending. So, and Vijati here is a verb which means to fan. It's Vijati, isn't it? I think so. Vijati means to fan. So it means fanning, right? Present participle, fanning. And the important point here is that the O ending means that it agrees with Ananda. So it's Ananda who's doing the fanning. He's the agent of this verb as well. So as often in the Pali, there's a sequence of verbs that have the same agent. So Vijamano here gives away what the ending there gives away what it relates to. It relates to Ananda. So he is the one who's doing the fanning. So fanning, Ananda fanning, and who he is fanning, the patient here who is being fanned, is Bhagavantan, the accusative, the Blessed One, the Buddha. So at that time, Ananda was standing behind the Blessed One, fanning the Blessed One. That's literally what it is. Make sense? Now you're getting real sentences here, you know. This is sort of how to analyze. It gets more fun when you actually have it real sentences rather than sort of these little fragments that we're dealing with all the time.
Can you comment on that? Number one, the note is used.
Okay, let's have a look. Notice how the last two words are tacked on after the main verb. An additional clause of this sort is frequently so placed as if it were an afterthought, when its action is simultaneous with the main action. This stylistic feature is very characteristic of old Pali prose. Yeah, I guess. Don't really have much to say about that, though. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. So let's move on to the next one. The next one is a bit more difficult. Kamman ko paname karantasa kayo kilamisati. The verb here is kilamisati. There's two verbs here, karantasa and kilamisati. But in this case, because it is a special kind of sentence. Actually, let's start with the first verb as always, otherwise I'm just messing up what I always say. So let's start with karantasa, which is the present participle. And you will notice it's a present participle because of the ant ending. And then after the ant, you also have the asta. The asta is the genitive, and then the ant ending is what makes it a present participle. And because it is karoti, it is a verb to do, it is basically means doing. Doing is the meaning of this verb. Doing, or working, or making. And then you have the of, so it's of doing. Now this is a difficult one, because The point of this sentence here, and you really have to be kind of sharp to notice this, to actually see what's going on, is that here you have what they call a genitive absolute, because the may, just in front of the verb there, could also be a genitive. So what you have is you have a pronoun or a noun, which is may, together with a verb, both in a, or rather part, a verb as a participle, both in a genitive. And when you have a pronoun, a noun, which is the agent of the action, and also an action, both like that in a genitive case, usually you have a genitive absolute. And that's what you have here. So it loses its genitive meaning, and it means instead, the genitive becomes while or when. So while, and then you have I doing. While I doing. That's what that means. While I doing. While I am doing, in other words. So it's the me karantasa becomes like a separate sentence here, which means while I am doing. And then kamang is part of this particular clause, part of this little, what you might call sub-clause at the beginning here. It means action or work or duty or whatever. So while I am doing the work, that's the first clause here. And then pana, but. So but while I am doing the work. Make sense? Kamang here is an ordinary patient, which is a patient to karantasa. That's all it is. It's an ordinary patient. So while I'm doing the work. Right? So that's the first part of the sentence. Then we have the second part. Kayo kilamisati. So kilamisati means, is a future again. It's a third person singular. So it means will become tired. It will become tired. And what is the agent here? The kayo is the agent, so it's the body that will become tired. It will become tired. So the body will become tired. It almost sounds like a patient, I must admit, but actually it is the agent in a sense. The body will become tired. That's the last part of the sentence. Putting them both together, you get, while I am doing the work, the body will become tired. It's easy when I say it like this, but it's actually quite a hard one to get right. You really have to sort of have your mind on the various possibilities, and it's not easy to get that one right, I have to say. I don't know if you found it easy when you were doing it.
No.
So.
Speaking of yourself.
Speaking of yourself, yeah. I'd be very surprised if you found it easy, because it's not easy. To figure that out. So, yeah. Okay. Tassa ratanani bhavanti. So again, if you analyze this carefully, you should be able to figure out what this means. Again, it's a little bit kind of certainly not extremely easy by any measure, but if you go slowly, carefully, you should be able to figure it out. So the verb bhavanti is the verb to be, and it's a third person plural, so it means they are, right? They are, or those are. And ratanani here could be the nominative, so that it's an equational sentence. So it's two things being equal. So it's the pronoun implied in the ending of avanti is equal to the other nominative here, ratanani. So they are jewels. They are jewels, or they are gems. That's the first part of the sentence here. And then you have tassa, and tassa can mean either of him, or of it, of that, depending on the circumstance. And here, of him works very well. Or you can say his. So they are his jewels. They are his gems. That's what that must mean. His gems working together. Or they are the gems of him. But that sounds a bit funny. So they are his jewels. They are his gems. So if you do it systematically, normally you can sort of get these things coming out nicely. So I always recommend people do it very systematically, stage by stage, one thing at a time.
Can I go back to the previous one?
Sure.
Although, you know, it doesn't say my body.
Yeah.
Because we had it made before, it's understood that it's my body. But, I mean, could there be times where it would be confusing, and so then they would put in the I again there to make it clear that it's my body that you're talking about?
It's an interesting point, yeah. I mean, what you could do, I wonder whether you could actually allow me karantasa just to be read as an ordinary genitive here. So it could be my or of me or me, my body, which is doing the work, will become tired. So it means that karon passa becomes like a present participle, but it agrees with me, right? So it's me who is doing it. Not I who am doing it. You understand what I mean? So they agree with each other. I who am doing it. So then, I who am doing something, and then you have to make it into genitive. So I who am doing. So of me who is doing it. Of me who is doing it. My body, which is doing the work, becomes tired. Yeah. It is another way of reading it, but I think it's probably more likely to be genitive absolute because of that cluster there, that nexus.
Yeah.
Is that what you meant?
Yes.
Yeah, roughly, yeah.
More or less.
More or less.
I guess what I'm asking is that you would never, it could never be, unless they specified, it would always refer back to the man. I mean, it would always be...
The body, my body.
Yes, I'm not being very clear. It's probably not clear in my mind.
Why? Yeah, I see what you mean. You are basically, you're asking whether the body must relate to me,
right.
Whether it's my body, that's what you're saying, right?
Right?
While I'm doing the work, my body will become tired. Yeah, yeah.
Seems like it could be somebody else's body. I mean, theoretically.
Theoretically,
it
could.
Say,
it doesn't. Yeah, yeah.
I know that's
understood,
but.
Well,
maybe that's where on the top comes in.
I don't think so. As I said, it could be read as my body, which is doing the work, becomes tired. That's another alternative reading of that sentence. And that might be in Pali, might actually be understood in the Pali when you read it. There's certainly another way of translating it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But in either case, I think it is my body.
I mean, you can make a rule, more or less a rule in your head that says if there's only one possessive there, it probably is going to relate to the whole shamazal in the whole thing.
Well, the point is that there isn't really a possessive. That's the whole point. Because you have a genitive absolute, right?
Yeah.
Construction. So that you lose the sense of possessiveness because of that. That's why I'm saying it actually means while I am doing, while I'm working, while I'm doing the work. So the possessive sense actually gets...
But it does refer to you, so it does refer to the person.
Yeah.
So you can make a kind of a rule that says if only one person's mentioned, then it must relate to the rest of it.
Yeah. From the context, it's very, very obvious that it means that.
Pretty obvious.
Because I know the context very quite well,
okay.
So it's very, very obvious.
All right.
Okay, let's move on. JR, we had a message for you. Okay, so now we get into translating from English into Pali. So we have, these people will have sons. So, but to translate this, if you're going to start with the verb as usual, will have, this kind of construction, will have, is usually the verb to be plus a genitive. That's usually how you translate the verb to have from English into Pali. So will have would be the verb to be plus a genitive construction. So because it's will, it's a future, and because it's these people, it would be a plural. So it would be bhavisanti is the verb here. So bhavisanti.
Well, I looked from I found this lucky santi being gay.
Oh, they will gain. Yeah, that's a fair comment. You can actually use that. Labisanti, yeah. So they will gain. These people will gain sons. In that case, you would translate as something like ime manusa putte babisanti. Labisanti. Yeah. Which is perfectly fine. Yeah. They will gain. But usually, you would translate that they will gain sons, so they will acquire sons, something like that.
Okay.
But it's close enough. I think it's perfectly reasonable.
You know that it's not for some reason. It's more for how you use it. You get something not. Okay.
Yeah. But the thing is that because the chapter is about genitive case, it's very likely that actually they wanted to have a genitive here.
Yeah.
I think the Pali normally is constructed with a genitive. So will have then would be bhavisanti is the verb. They they will be, and then these people then, it's an equational sentence, right? So it's these people then, I would be careful now. These people have, because these people are the ones who are having something, they are like the owners, they will be in a genitive case, right? So, first of all, is that there will be sons of them, is literally how it will come out. So, the sons will be in the nominative, because there will be sons, and then these people will be in the genitive, because they are having the sons, so they are the owners. So, putta will be, with genitive, will be the nominative plural. And then these people will be imesang manusana is genitive plural there. So you have something, and remember the genitive always goes in front of the word that it relates to. So it becomes imesang manusana putta bhavisanti. That's how you would translate that, using the genitive. It is not easy at all, because we haven't done much of this sort of stuff. So, but anyway, that's the right reply.
Can you say purisana as well? That's manusana.
Can, but it usually means men there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You can say pugala means people there. Purisa means men there.
Okay. Yeah. Jano.
Jana. Yeah, you can use jana. Yeah, people. Yeah, but that would be janana or something like that. I think. I'm not sure. Yeah, janana.
Okay.
It says, perso says man, person.
Okay.
But it's always generally always means man, right?
Main meaning is man, but I think because in India, you know, women are so kind of low that man means person also. It just means person. Right?
Oh.
So man has a kind of both meaning of both. But okay. If you want to say people, like humans, you say manusa means humans. Pugala, pugala panyati. Yeah.
English is undergoing a bit of a form there, where mankind has become person kind.
Person kind, that's right.
Barbaric.
Person kind, that's barbaric. That's right. Yeah. Okay, I am his slave. So here you have the verb to be again, I am, which is, what is that? I am. It can either be homi, which is I am, or it probably is the verb ati actually, which is amhi, is that right? Is it Ami? Yeah, Ami. So Ami is likely to be
what?
Asmi. So, Asmi, that's right. Asmi or Ami. Okay, so Asmi, yeah. So I am is Asmi. And then you have I am the slave, right? So again, it's an equational sentence. I am the slave. So both slave and I are nominative. So Aham Asmi and slave is Daso. So Aham Asmi Daso. And then you have his, which raises the Daso. So it becomes Tassa. And then you have to sort of get the sequence right, which is very, very not easy. It's something like Aham Asmi Tassa Daso or something like that. I'm not sure exactly what the sequence is supposed to be about.
Aham Asa Daso Anghi.
Aham Asa Daso Anghi. Okay. Asa Daso, okay, his slave, that goes together. Aham Asa Daso Anghi. Okay. Yeah. Sure.
Is Babami okay for the verb?
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. But it's a bit declarative, the sentence. I am his slave. It's a bit declarative. And usually when it's a bit declarative, it has a repati, normally. Mm. It's not just a statement saying A is B. It's actually, you know, sort of declaring something. This is the case. Because of that, you have to use a slightly more forceful construction, which is the repati.
So, is that a normal way of using this I am?
Well, Ahang Asa means I. Ahang is I. Asa is of him, right? Or his. So I, his slave, am. Is literally how the Pali reads. I, his slave, am. His slave.
If you come across Ahang Asa, so it means, you know, I am his.
Usually you have a verb as well in that case. So usually you have something like Ahang Asa Asmi. I am his. There will be danger. So will be is there will be. Will be is the verb here. So it's bhavisati is the third person singular future bhavisati, and there is implied in that. So you don't need anything else for there. And it's an equational sentence because you have the verb to be. So it's danger is just a nominative case because it's the equational sentence. So there will be danger. Danger is bayang. I think it's bayang is a neuter noun. Yeah, it's neuter. So, Bayang Bhavisati, basically. Bayang Bhavisati. He will teach the doctrine, will teach. So here you have the verb. What verb have you got here?
This is.
This, okay. Desesisati, something like that then. Yeah. This is the, yeah. So this is Desesati. Future is Desesisati. And so he will teach Desesisati, and what he will teach is the doctrine. So the doctrine here is the accusative, right? You have an ordinary verb. With he is the agent and doctrine is a patient being taught. So it's Dhammang Desesisati. Desesati. Desesati. Okay, sorry, I'm probably getting it wrong here. Desesati then. Okay. Yeah.
Why can it be spelled either with an I or an E? It shows here. Desesati or Desesati?
Because it's a language. Language is inconsistent, that's why.
I'm sorry?
Because it's language. Language is inconsistent. I guess in those days they would speak it. Some people would pronounce it one way, some people pronounce it another way. And then when it's written down, it would, some places would pronounce one way, another place a different way. Just like okay. If you go to the US, you hear one thing, go to the UK, you hear something else. Yeah, that sort of stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
There's definitely something more to it than that. Yeah. I will be an ascetic. So you have I will be is the, or will be is the verb. And it's the first person singular future tense, so it's bhavisami, bhavisami, I will be, bhavisami. And it's an equational sentence because the verb to be, so ascetic will be nominative, so it's samano, samano bhavisami. The priest has a son, so here you have the have construction again. So because you have the have construction, you're here dealing with the genitive case, very likely. So you have genitive case plus the verb to be. So the priest has a son, the verb to be will then simply be babati, or maybe ati, third person singular, or maybe hoti. And then a son will be in the nominative because it's the equational sentence again, so a son will simply be puto. And the priest, because the priest is the one who is having, he's the owner, so to speak, he will be in the genitive case, right? So it becomes a brahmanasa puto hoti. Or Atti Brahmanasa Putto, or something like that. Or Babati. So, next one. They wrap the king's body in the garment. It says instrumental here. They should read it. If that is the case, they much better translate they wrap the king's body with the garment, I would say. Then it's very, very clear that it's an instrumental also in English. So the word to wrap here is Veteti. If we just had it on the previous, quite recently, I think, Veteti, yeah, to wrap. They wrap, so they are the agents here, so it becomes Vetenti. Vetenti, and what they are wrapping here is the body, right? It's the body that they actually are wrapping. And the king is, must be a genitive, but the main kind of patient here is actually the body, that's what they're wrapping. So they're wrapping the body. And body here is very likely to be sarira. It's a dead body. It's usually sarira in Pali, not kayo. This is the kind of the real word for body. So it becomes sarirang. It's the accusative. So it becomes sarirang vetenti. And then because it is the king's body, the king must then be in the genitive case and it relates to body. So it goes straight in front of the word body. So it becomes ranyo sarirang vetenti. And then with the garment, that's the instrumental, how they do it. So garment here is vata, presumably. So it becomes vatena. Vatena is the instrumental case. So it becomes something like ranyo sariram vatena vetenti. That one is reasonably straightforward. But again, it gets complicated because so many words and things. So. Make sense? Happy with that? Yeah. This is the pagoda of that fortunate one. So here you have an equational sentence. So this is the pagoda. And the two things that are equated is this and the pagoda. So the verb to be will have to be third person singular because it's just this. It's a third person singular. So it's bhavati or bhoti or atti. So probably atti here because it might be a strong statement, or it could be hoti. So if it is, let's say it's hoti, Then you have pagoda, and this must both be in the nominative, so it becomes something like pagoda is tupo, nominative, and then this must be probably ayang, ayang tupo. So ayang tupo hoti, ayang tupo. And then you have of that fortunate one. So that fortunate one, that and fortunate one, both will have to be in the genitive case, right? That relates to fortunate one. It points to the same object, fortunate one. That is just a demonstrative, and that will also have to be of. So it becomes something like imasa bhagavato, or tassa bhagavato, probably. Tassa bhagavato. So tassa bhagavato, and that relates to this pagoda, so that goes in front of that, so you get tassa bhagavato ayan tupo hoti, or something like that. Or ante tassa bhagavato iman,
doesn't have
to
hold
it, it just says ayan tassa bhagavato tupo. Okay, I got it wrong. Okay, there you are, yep. So it's very difficult actually for us to hear what natural kind of rhythm of the sentence is, what the word order should be. Because for them, you know, if they spoke Pali, they would have like a natural word order. It's like we speak English, it's a natural word order to the language. They would have the same, but we can't hear that because we're not used to hearing the language. So I'm just, you know, you make it up, and then the actual word order you just to figure out by reading it basically. Yeah. Ayam tassa bhagavato tupo. Yeah, sure. Makes sense. Okay, so we're coming to the last one, which is good timing. We deserve a share of the relic of the fortunate one. So your double genitive here was interesting. The first part here is quite easy. So the first part is just we deserve a share. So to deserve is arahati. It's first person, first person plural, we. So it's arahama. So arahama, and what we deserve is a share. So a share must be in the accusative, right? Bhagam arahama.
Yeah, no, I don't want to take up time, but I thought first it was accusative. Then I thought, then I looked at the meaning and I thought, well, it doesn't take an object. It says he deserves, he must be odd. So I thought, oh, this is intransitive, so probably it's a tricky sentence with three genitives in a row. So
yeah. Okay.
But I was wrong.
I think actually it's transitive. It's transitive.
Well, it is, but yeah, it doesn't.
He deserves a share here.
He must.
Yeah.
So he ought, wouldn't he?
That's true. So maybe in certain contexts it's not. In other contexts it is. Yeah. I guess that's one of those tricky verbs.
Hit or miss.
Yeah, hit or miss. That's right. Yeah.
Because you could say deserve of a chair. You know, it would make sense. Genitive.
He is deserving of a chair. Yeah. Yeah. But in that case you would have to use a. The only way you could do that is by using a participle. Then you have to construct with a participle, because you cannot have a genitive with an ordinary verb. Genitive can only be constructed with the participles. Because participles are verbal nouns, right? By definition, they are verbal nouns. So you have to construct, that kind of genitive has to be constructed with a participle. That's why it's in English, he's deserving of a chair. You don't say, he deserves of a chair, you can't say that. You have to say, he's deserving
Maybe
of a chair.
Even in Pali, you can't.
It's exactly the same thing in Pali. Exactly the same
that's
principle.
News.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you use so what we have here is bhagang arahama, and then you have what? So we deserve a share of the relic. So a share of the relic. So relic is sarirang. So it's sarira. No, it's plural. So it's sariranang. That goes together with bhagang. So it's sariranang bhagang. Right. Share of the relics.
What's about
Sari ranang.
Yeah, but
bhagang. It's just bhagang.
A share.
And that goes together with the relic. So those go together because the share of the relic, so in Pali you turn it around and becomes sari ranang bhagang. And then because it's the relics of the fortunate one, there's another genitive outside that again, which refers to relics. So it's, you get bhagavato at the very beginning, bhagavato sariranan bhagang arahama. It's very complicated when you translate from English into Pali, but if this was from Pali into English, it actually would be quite easy to translate, because it flows out naturally when you do the translation. So the translation from English to Pali is actually very hard in comparison to Pali to English. So if you find these things difficult, it is not very surprising at all. So just to, I want to encourage you a little bit as well, otherwise I might lose all faith in this, in these things. Yeah.
Sorry,
okay.
Sorry, just to add, you said that Arahati is like he deserves.
So yeah.
Arahati
yeah,
okay.
It's a deserving one. It's a worthy one, exactly. A worthy one, a deserving one, yeah.
So we also use the word holy for that or something? But it's kind of...
Sometimes it's translated as worthy actually. Yeah. Worthy is one translation, yeah. Holy one is another one, yeah. Yeah. Next time we have quite a long chapter as well, so it's good fun. Yeah.